Yes. And it's okay to ask the questions. And it's okay to say, I don't understand what this means. Can you explain this to me further? Please ask. And I don't want to use the word demand, but you're the CEO and founder of your company. You are paying others to help you grow your business. It is okay to take up that space and not only ask for the information, but ask for the explanation of the information. Knowledge is power. There is nothing better than educating on business acumen, things to ask. I love that part.
Welcome to Life After Corporate, your ultimate guide for making the leap from corporate leader to entrepreneur. I'm Deb Boulanger, entrepreneur, executive leader, and founder of the Launch Lab for Women Entrepreneurs. This is your time to break through the glass ceiling once and for all and get your ticket to the C-suite. Come back each week to get the leading strategies, advice, and tools that will give you the skills and confidence you need to replace your corporate paycheck. Are you ready? Let's go. Welcome back to another episode of Life After Corporate, my friend. And if you're new to our show, welcome home. If you're old to our show, you knew I was going to say that. And today we have a very special guest I can't wait to introduce you to. And we're talking about how to take charge of your business, because sometimes you make the leap from corporate, you jump into entrepreneurship, your business is running you, you're not really quite sure what's working, what's not. So today we're going to talk about how to take charge and why knowledge is power and numbers are your friend, and that the financial awareness of what's working and what's not will bring you confidence and empower you as a leader in this growing business so that you can lead your teams and they build trust in you. So today our guest is Carlyn Bushman. She is the founder and CEO of Carlyn Bushman Consulting, where she has extensive knowledge and expertise in strategy, execution, and how to measure what's working. So her expertise is in marketing, management, technology, business finance. And from her extensive experience as she climbed the corporate ladder, and she has, since she left corporate, created and run several businesses on her own from the ground up, and has a unique understanding of the many complexities of starting and operating a business. And she is now dedicated to women-owned businesses, small to medium-sized businesses, to create reliable and sustainable revenue streams. Welcome to Life After Corporate, Carlyn.
Thank you, Deb. It's absolutely wonderful to be here. I've been waiting for this moment, and I love that you dropped in a little bit of humor right in the intro. That's great, because your listeners knew what you were going to say, so that's awesome.
Yeah. So I know we have some loyal listeners to the show, and I greatly appreciate that. And Carlyn, I know you're one of them. I greatly appreciate you. So Carlyn and I have crossed paths and intertwined many times. So Carlyn is a friend. We are both in the entrepreneurial space as experts and advisors. She's also part of the Six-Figure Accelerator and someone I really enjoy working with on a regular basis. And so, Carlyn, we always ask everyone who joins the show, you know, what is your life after corporate story? What led you to want to start this business in particular? And I know you've had several, so feel free to share a little bit about your journey to where you are here.
Of course. Thank you, Deb. As you might guess, even before we had the pandemic, there was always that situation inside a corporate on the next steps and what it was going to take for you to make the next steps and how that was going to put additional demands on your personal life, what that looked like. And that occurred several years ago for me. And as I was climbing the corporate ladder, the travel schedule became a little more intense and a little more intense. I was away from my family during pivotal years with four kids, and decided it was time for me to step away. And I did not want to do that. I have to be honest. I wanted to be this woman who stayed in the C-suite, leading other women to the C-suite. I can do it. I want to represent women in this space and help them grow in this space. And honestly, Deb, I just got worn out. I couldn't do it anymore. And I felt like things were being sacrificed that I was not willing to accept any longer. It was hard. It was a really, really hard decision because I'm so passionate about women in the space of business that it went against every ounce of me to step down from that and leave it behind and not go back into corporate. And corporate wasn't bad. I mean, there's so many wonderful things about corporate. And you often talk about being an entrepreneur. And I've talked to other clients and individuals about being an entrepreneur inside a corporate setting. So I'm not saying it was all negative. It was just really, it just really became taxing on myself personally and my family. And I didn't want to let that go.
You know, I get that. And, you know, it is part of the golden handcuffs and also part of, for me, it was the achievement. Like, oh my God, I never expected to get this far. And, you know, that extra chair in my office was frequently filled by a woman who was at the manager, director, or even the VP level saying, you know, how do I get to the next level? How do I position myself? And I remember my last day at the executive table when I had resigned, and I welled up with tears and I said, please hire another woman in this role. It gets me emotional right now. And they didn't. I knew they wouldn't. They eventually did. But right after I left, they didn't. They promoted someone internally. But it's hard. It's hard. You know, if you've got stock units, if you've got a good paycheck, it's hard. But I get you that sacrificing the family for the paycheck is hard.
Well, I agree. And my identity was so tied up in my position at the corporate level. I would say, you know, I even referred to that today that I did. I worked in corporate and I hang my hat on the fact that I did climb as far as I could at that time. And I'm proud of what I did. And then I'll never forget the day when I decided, just like you, almost to what I was wearing and leaving that office, because we were in office all the time. There was absolutely no virtual. Leaving the office for the last time, pulling up to my home and thinking, oh my gosh. Now what? And, you know, fear sets in, of course. And what am I going to do? And can I really make something else work? I didn't start this business or the businesses I've done in the past as side hustles. I just stopped and then had to figure out my what's next. And that was scary for sure.
Yeah, it is scary. You know, I remember waking up in the middle of the night in a cold sweat about money, right? So where's the money coming from? You know, I'm burning through my savings, things like that. But what was tell us your journey through businesses, because I know you've done e-commerce. Now you're a service-based entrepreneur. What was your journey to where you are now?
Absolutely. And it's incredible. I had a call just this morning, matter of fact, with someone, and I could use part of my journey to actually walk through and really put her at ease to say we've all been there. So out of corporate, I started, I was in healthcare and I started medical consulting. I was in the consulting space for physicians who were either starting a new practice, forming a partnership, whatever the case might have been. And I started consulting with physicians. That was what I knew. And I could set up an office, run an office, you know, get team hired, all the things that are involved in the healthcare space. And again, I found myself traveling because I was in demand and I would end up traveling to different states to help physicians set their practices up and whatnot. I stepped back from that and decided it was getting a hold of me too much again and took a break to really look into the product-based business. So I started a handbag company. I went completely opposite, stepped out of healthcare entirely and decided, well, I have all this background and all this knowledge. Surely I can just start this handbag company. So I did.
Handbags, like pocketbook handbags.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Like handbags, 100% product, manufacturing overseas,
wow.
Patent pending on pieces of the product and dropped in using all the things, Shopify, marketing. And marketing changed, of course, since I studied marketing many, many years ago. So I had to learn all the nuances of the new marketing age and thinking to myself, how hard can this be? Yeah, it was hard. It was very hard. And I made a ton of mistakes. Of course, you know, you do all the things. You figure out which is the right manufacturer. How much inventory do I need? How do I actually do direct to consumer and wholesale? And what does that look like? What are the agreements? So I learned a ton and made a ton of mistakes in the product-based business. But I am so grateful that I did that. I met incredible women along the journey, and I learned so many things about what to do and what not to do. And as I was meeting all of these amazing women, both when I was doing the medical consulting and then, of course, working with the product base, I realized that's where my pull is. Back from corporate, when I would mentor women growing in their careers, to helping women physicians set up offices, to helping women in their product-based business, it was all starting to really show up for me. And I was at a trade show and speaking to another woman about her business. And I enjoyed speaking to her so much about her business and what she was offering. I didn't care as much about my handbags, and I was more interested in how I could help her grow her business using all the tools that I had built over the years. And that was my first awareness or aha moment, thinking I can put this all together and I can really help women step into building their businesses. And I absolutely loved it from the moment of that first conversation with that woman at that trade show. And here I am today. She is still a client of mine and near and dear to my heart. And she inspires me on a regular basis. And I don't think she even realizes that she does.
Well, we'll just have to give her some love, you know, send her a note and say, I was talking about you on that podcast.
Yes.
So here's what I love about you and what makes you so different from other business coaches out there, because typically people are super narrow, and you have done product. You've been a product entrepreneur. You've been a service entrepreneur. You've built out systems, processes. You understand marketing and e-commerce. You understand how to hire, how to build a team, how to manage the numbers, because I know how important numbers are for you. You've shared many times the dashboard that you've created for clients, which is so incredibly amazing. It's so hard to get that kind of information in one place. But before we go there, I want to ask you, you know, with all the people that you've coached and through your own experience, what have you noticed as this strategic advisor to women-led startups? What patterns have you seen? Are there any traps that women entrepreneurs tend to fall into?
Deb, that's a great question. And it comes up on a regular basis. And I think I know what I see is incredibly talented women with amazing ideas and creativity, and then getting stuck and leaving that creative side to try to figure out how to do it all. And when you try to figure out how to do it all, you start to dilute what got you actually to your business in the first place. And you go down that rabbit hole, and then you're not sure what questions to ask because you feel vulnerable that you should know it all because you're doing it all. So of course you should know it all. And you surround yourself with other individuals that are telling you this and telling you that. And it's hard. It's so hard to decipher what is right, because you think you have good intuition and knowledge to understand it, but you sometimes don't even know the questions to ask. And that's really, really hard, and for myself included. Sometimes even in my own business, which it's so important to have a business consultant, a business coach in my corner. It's so important to me because this happens to all of us. And I see women not taking up space with who they might be working with. One example is recently that came up, not asking their digital marketing agency for the analytics that really matter to drive their business forward.
I know, right? Isn't that crazy? Not measuring what you're investing in, because it's expensive. It costs a lot to hire a digital marketing agency.
Yes. And it's okay to ask the questions, and it's okay to say, I don't understand what this means. Can you explain this to me further? Please ask. And I don't want to use the word demand, but you're the CEO and founder of your company. You are paying others to help you grow your business. It is okay to take up that space and not only ask for the information, but ask for the explanation of the information. For me, there is nothing better. And as you mentioned early, there is knowledge is power. There is nothing better than educating on business acumen things to ask. I love that part when I work with clients. I love giving them the tools to be able to do this on their own. And you can surround yourself with all kinds of really, really talented humans. And it will be important for you to be able to ask those tough questions.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's the whole chief everything officer syndrome when you first get started. And I find that women aren't easy to ask for help. I think maybe because we're the helpers, we're like, I don't know if you were like this too, but I grew up and I was like, I can do it. I can do it. I can do anything. Those are the kind of books that I read. And so there's such a temptation to feel the pressure of, I need to figure this out on my own. So that's one that you mentioned. I need to figure this all out on my own. And two, relying on well-meaning friends. I don't know if you have found, well, I have a friend who's really good in marketing, or I have a friend who knows about launching businesses, or I have a friend who's good in finance, and taking that advice from friends versus someone who like literally eats, breathes, and sleeps entrepreneurship every day like you do, can sometimes just pull you down the wrong path because of this fear of, you know, asking for help. Or then the second fear is a fear of investing in your business, right? Fear of investing in help. So why do you think this is? Why do you think women kind of get stuck on, you know, asking for what they want, asking for what they need? And what do you think the answer to that is?
Well, I think fear, right? And you've said it a few times. Fear is the enemy of all of us on more times than not. And as you know, for me, a big piece of that is just make progress. It's not going to be perfect, and it's okay that it's not going to be perfect. And then I think the other piece of that is a scarcity mindset. And so many of us, and I think women have this, like, as you mentioned, I can get it done. I can do it all myself. Of course I can figure this out. I've had to figure these things out all along. That was even when I was in corporate, that was a huge lesson in corporate. Of course I can have this big corporate job. And of course my family, I can juggle all of that. And of course I can be a good partner and a good best friend. And of course I can do it. And I should be able to do it. I should be grateful for this opportunity. And now I'm going to shit all over myself, right? Mm-hmm. So we do that a lot. And what I've realized through the years is that's just not fun. That is not fun. And now I'm making worse decisions because I'm putting all this unnecessary pressure on myself. And I go down the scarcity where if I just decided to take the leap and invest in myself and invest in my business, it's a huge leap. Fear comes in a lot, but it's amazing how that takes care of itself. And I don't just leave it out there. You have to do the work. But there is something about getting past that barrier, that wall of terror.
Yeah.
And going through that door, and all of a sudden it's more fun.
So I want you to tell us how you help your clients have more fun in their business. I know you're passionate about dashboards and metrics and what's working. So tell us how you go about doing that, because I find that it's the biggest gap in women business owners. They're just not managing to what's working and what's not. So they continue to do things that just don't deliver the results.
Oh, measuring is so much fun. It really is. So yes, there's good months and bad months, good quarters, bad quarters. But don't look at it as bad months or bad quarters. There's challenging and there's opportunity. There's challenges and there's opportunities. So when you build a dashboard and you start somewhere, don't go into overwhelm. You do not have to measure everything inside of your business all at one time, because that gets a little confusing and overwhelming. So just start by measuring a few important metrics inside of your business and by putting those numbers into the dashboard yourself. And I encourage everyone to actually just do it themselves. There's lots of platforms out there that would feed you the information and do it for you. But really, when you do it yourself and look at that, it turns from cringy to giddy. And I get really giddy about it, even if the month is not exactly what I intended it to look like or had hoped it would look like. It gives me an opportunity to pivot quickly or to look at what is something I can drop in to change it today. Because if you don't measure, you can't make a decision on your business on what works or doesn't work. And you're going to have a lot of things that don't work. You're going to have a lot of things that don't work. But you have all these really, really great ideas. And by giving them a home and then trying them out and then measuring them, there's your answer. It's okay. It's better to try these things. But if you don't measure what you're trying, then you're going to keep guessing. And this will become part of your story and part of your journey. So I absolutely love it. It takes a lot to get over the hump from putting in your sales month over month and wanting to do that to actually looking forward to doing that. But once you start down that path, it, you know, as an example, it really is energizing. And a great example, Deb, that I love to share is don't feel like you need to push the boulder up the mountain. Walk alongside with that boulder, because if typically the month of June is a slower month for you, don't double down on your efforts for June. Double down on your efforts for April and May, knowing that June would be a perfect month to get into your creative space, design your products, design your programs, get some campaign work done to load them up for July and August, or whenever you see the trend going back up. Don't beat yourself up and surround yourself. Is this a good time to interview a digital marketing agency? Is this a good time to evaluate if you bring somebody on, you know, on your team? Use that really juicy time instead of beating yourself up to think, oh, this year is going to be the year I really improved June.
Yeah. And, you know, it's also a great time to look at launching new offerings, you know, service offerings, if you're in that space, and new products. So guys, you're listening, if you're listening to this podcast, you didn't see Carlin light up, but I'm sure you felt that energy when she was speaking about the numbers, speaking about the dashboards. And I remember when I first started, I did not look at my numbers. And I realized that what I focus my attention on expands, and what I appreciate. So no matter how much or how little money was in that bank account, I appreciated that. And so I'd love for you to give some more details on, and now I can't get enough metrics. In fact, I wish there was a magic dashboard, but what are some of the things that we should be measuring, the things that we should be paying attention to? I mean, aside from, you know, revenue and expenses and profits, which is, you know, the basics that you should be looking at, what are some of the other things that you encourage clients to look at?
Deb, this is great. And I've learned a lot from you in this space by listening to your previous podcasts and the interactions that you and I've had. And leads, I think whether you're in the service-based or the product-based business, really tracking your leads on a weekly or monthly basis is so incredibly important. If you're in the product-based business, leads becomes, they are your wholesale clients. So you have to have some kind of tracking system set up on reaching out to your wholesale leads and cultivating new ones. And of course, we know in the service-based business, really talking to your audience, how many leads are you reaching out to? You've really had a lot of conversation around relationship marketing. And again, relationship marketing is both in the service and product-based businesses. So I think leads is incredibly important. And the other thing that you've really talked about is being visible. And how often are you visible on your platforms, on podcasts like this, in speaking events, at trade shows, at trunk shows? It's something I'm really speaking to with the product-based clients that I have and leads on that is being visible going into Q3 and Q4. And getting ahead of your competitors in that aspect. You have to be visible in both sides of these businesses.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a difference between a potential lead and a lead, right? So someone becomes a lead when they sign up for something, whether it's they've downloaded something or they've signed up for a conversation. And until then, until they take some action, if they show up for a webinar, they show up for a workshop, or they're following you on social media and they're interacting with you in direct message, that's a lead. You know, the people who follow you on social media are people who follow you on social media. They may be prospective leads or they may be prospects for your services, but right now they're just followers. And I think that's key to understanding how the conversion engine works. And so I know I geek out on conversion rates.
That's a great example.
Right. So if we put up a webinar page or a page for an event, I'm tracking how many people landed on that page and how many people actually registered. And if that conversion rate is less than 30%, I'm not happy. It means that, you know, that's a subpar page and we need to adjust something for it. What are some of the other things that you help clients measure?
In the product-based businesses, I really measure email addresses, active versus subscribed. As you might guess, your email list in a product-based and service-based as well, but really, really important in the product-based businesses, that's one of your most valuable assets. So looking at, and I measure that actually every week with a few of my clients, because we did have a situation that all of a sudden in 1 week, we lost roughly 500 subscribed email addresses. And I am so glad we measured this week over week. This is a great example of how important this was. We lost 500 roughly subscribed email addresses. And I thought there is no way we would have lost 500 email addresses in a week. That's absolutely nuts. So we went back to our CRM and brought this to their attention, and it was a glitch in their system. Now, had we not been measuring the number of email subscribers week over week, this could have gone for a month, this could have gone for 3 weeks, this could have been 90 days, and we would have been looking at why all of a sudden did our sales drop, why are our online sales dropping, why are our open rates less? And it would have been 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 90 days worth of data we would have had to take back to the CRM to figure it out. But because we measured it in a very short amount of time, we were able to report that back to them. They identified it and it was resolved. And that for me was a great aha moment in the importance of measuring things. So email addresses, your active subscribers, that's very important in a product-based company. And setting some goals of increasing those month over month, that's your audience and direct to consumer.
Yeah, absolutely. So important. That's brilliant too. And if for people who don't know, CRM is customer relationship management. It's your technology platform where you're taking orders, you're managing your email list and all of that. And so very important to have that as a basic foundation of your business. So Carlin, I'd love to learn a little bit more about your journey. And what has been your personal biggest growth edge as an entrepreneur?
Just like any of us as entrepreneurs, my biggest growth has been when I'm challenged working with clients to continually come up with improved processes and new implementation strategies, new strategy forward thinking into their future. And I love learning. So for me, it's so important to continue my journey in that space. And recently, I was brought into the fold of Arizona State University and their Center for Entrepreneurship as a thought leader and the development of their programs. And they're on cutting edge when it comes to some of the things they're developing at that university. And the reason I say that is they are really studying the path of entrepreneurship, and they really are looking into entrepreneurship is not necessarily a linear journey. It is more of a circular journey. And for anyone listening, I think we can all agree it is circular with a lot of bumps and a lot of different aspects of it. And for me, this is incredibly exciting that I get to be part of something bigger than me. And learning through the process of what they are developing and selected as one of 8 experts in the space to continuously grow this program and share the wealth of knowledge and the education with the students. And then, of course, amongst the peers that I'll be working with on this project. So I'm really looking forward to this. And it was an incredibly rewarding opportunity. And I stepped into it with a lot of courage and decided to leave fear in the backseat.
That is such an incredible story. So happy for you. And you are also recognized by the Entrepreneurista League in the top 100 recently. So there's just a lot of greatness following you. And, you know, the road to entrepreneurship is always changing. And yes, we talk about it being a spiral in the accelerator that, you know, we're still fine tuning the same thing: sales, marketing, product development, team, staff, operations. But we're doing it at higher and higher levels. So we're viral, that's always moving up. But now we have, you know, new technologies like AI and Web3. And, you know, how can you be an early adopter, not a leading bleeding edge adopter, but a leading adopter of using some of those technologies for your advantage? And you need someone like Carlin, who is paying attention to what's emerging, what's coming on the market. And consumer trends, consumer interests are always changing. You know, look at what's happening in the corporate world right now with all these layoffs. I'm having conversations with so many women who are like, well, I was planning on leaving, but they made the decision for me. And so now I'm starting my business sooner. And there is a lot of fear around that, a lot of uncertainty. And so this is a growth edge for everyone. It's a growth edge for everyone. It will kick up all your stuff. And yet pushing at the edges is where all the good stuff is. That's where the excitement is, the happiness, the success. Yeah.
And the fun.
Carlin, you are so much fun. What is one piece of advice that you would give a woman who wants to start a business right now? And what is the very first thing that she needs to be clear on in order to be successful in this new endeavor?
Well, first, I would say congratulations to her, because I love the fact that she's even considering stepping into her own business. And I celebrate her. And I want her to know that she's got a ton of support through podcasts like this, through the Entrepreneurista League and other fabulous female networks. So first, I applaud her. And following that, it's lonely. Entrepreneurship can be lonely. So my best piece of advice is to lean on others in the same space, hire consultants or coaches that feel right for you to get you grounded. You really want to get grounded in the business, and you want to really understand your why for stepping into this business, and everything will build from that point forward. It will be what gets you up every day and has you charged up and excited to step into your business and feeling that sense of freedom, excitement, challenges, and knowing that you have a full support network behind you. And don't be afraid to ask questions. And it's okay. Everybody's been there. I think just realizing that and telling yourself that over and over again and being vulnerable to that is a mindset, but that's 80% of it.
Yeah. Mindset. 80% mindset, 20% mechanics. Ask for help, you know, be vulnerable. We've all been there. We've all felt the same thing. No one's going to judge you. It's a lot less judgy in the entrepreneurial world than it is in corporate. So we're not going to judge you. We're going to say, hey, here's what we've done. Here's what's worked for us. Carlin, this has been such a pleasure to have you on the show. Is there something that you can share with our listeners that might be helpful for them as they embark on this journey with their numbers?
Yes, absolutely. If you go to carlinbushmanconsulting.com, I have a lot of free resources to include pricing models for your services or your products. You can find a holiday planning if you're looking into Q3 and Q4 and you really want to get into a holiday planning schedule and campaigns. It's never too early to start. We know those are ahead for our businesses. And a lot of times Q3 and Q4, especially Q4, that is one of the biggest revenue months for most of our businesses. So getting organized and ahead of that, it's a great tool to be able to use. So I encourage you to take a look at some of those free resources and reach out to us if you have any questions.
Yeah, we'll post that link in show notes, my friend. And Carlin, it's just been such a pleasure to have you on the show. You're brilliant. Your excitement and enthusiasm about entrepreneurship is contagious. It's just great to be in your presence. And guys, you should just all follow her. We'll put your social media handles in the show notes as well. Follow Carlin. If she's got something going on, sign up for it. She really knows her stuff and she can help you sort through what's working and what's not working and what can we do about it. So with that, my friends, that's a wrap for this episode of Life After Corporate. We will see you next time. Thanks, Carlin.
Thank you, Deb.
Thanks for listening, my friend. If you enjoyed this show, please head over to iTunes and subscribe and leave us a review. And be sure to hop over to the Life After Corporate Facebook group and join other growing entrepreneurs to get weekly tips on how to create more money and meaning doing work you love.